Welcome to the Time of the Month podcast. And in this podcast, we explore the important women of the Bible, the nameless women of the Bible, and the forgotten women of the Bible. And in this second season of Time of the Month, we are also going to be exploring important women of the Christian faith, inspiring women. Now, I'm Laura Dygan, and joining me today, as always, is my co-host and dear friend, Linda Pollock. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Laura. It's good to see you all those miles away. I'm still in New Zealand.
Yes, I know. What's been happening down under? Anything exciting?
Well, today this evening, I was away in a wee place called Maraikakaho, which is a wee village about 40 minutes from where I live. And there's a little church there that I suppose it's like a mission hub, if you like, of the main church. And I was organising a lovely gathering and meeting with a couple of families from the village. We're going to do an Easter gathering next week. Now, the church has been closed for years, but there's been a little bit of a revival.
Oh, fabulous.
So a few weeks ago, we did a big community gathering and, you know, barbecue, sausage sizzle more than a barbecue. And so they've asked for something for Easter. So I've put together an intergenerational service and I met with the people tonight to go over some of the songs and some of the activities we'll be doing. So that just has left me really buzzing, really happy, because this has come from the people. It hasn't been anything forced by the church. But this, New Zealand's really a very spiritually hungry country, and they do some crazy things in terms of spirituality, but it's wonderful that people are curious, you know. So I've had a busy few weeks and a wonderful earlier evening today. What about yourself? What are you up to?
Oh yeah, just preparing. Well, as we record, everyone, it's just before Holy Week. So that has been where all my preparations been, you know, getting ready for Holy Week, getting ready for Easter. But also I've been in the local schools as well, you know, sharing with the young people about the story of Easter, you know, like, so just bringing it to life for them. That's been with the Wheel Trust. I've been doing that. So it's been fabulous. But it has been a bit of a busy time. But even though it's been busy, it's been a really blessed time as well. You know, it's like just, you know, the Spirit is like, you know, carrying us along, but inspiring us as well. It's just, yeah, it's like, this is like what I live for, you know, so.
Aye, I hear you.
Aye. Well, I will be praying for this continued revival, Linda, down in down where you are. I just think this is so wonderful, and I'm sure that, you know, our listeners as well will be praying as well. Just that, oh yeah, especially like when there's not been church there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just that things are coming alive again. That's coming from them. That's just magnificent.
And it's wonderful because we're not expecting them to come into church. We're just building relationships and having a sausage sizzle and singing lovely songs and hearing the stories and doing some art and playing games. And it's all based on Palm Sunday. And it's the most important thing is it's come from the people. It hasn't been anything imposed upon them, and it's not a church service, you know.
Yes, and that's, I think, where we all need to, you know, learn from, that actually church isn't exactly what we, you know, have traditionally always thought it is. You know, for us to be thinking outside the box and actually meet people where they are, and it's, you know, relational, and then it, something can come from that, but it might not be actually church as we know it traditionally. Something new and something different. That's just wonderful. Well, today, in the second episode of season two, we are going to be exploring a woman of faith, an important woman of our faith, the Christian faith, and that woman is Gladys Aylward. Now, friends, if you've never heard of this woman before, please do stick with us, because she really is absolutely fascinating. Now, Linda, you had suggested that we explore it. Now, I'm going to say I'm ashamed to admit that I had never heard of it. And I'm ashamed because once I started, looking into her and I had found some recordings of her speaking, and I was just like, she is absolutely fascinating. She's just a wee powerhouse because she's a small woman, and I think that actually really appealed to me because I'm a small woman,
Yes, small in stature.
Yes. And so, but she was not small in spirit at all. So can you tell us why you picked her for us to explore, why you thought Gladys would be a good person for us to look at?
I didn't go to church or Sunday school when I was a youngster. But I did go, I think I went twice to Sunday school, and on those two occasions they were talking about missionaries. And they gave me a book about Gladys Aylward. The other book they gave me was Mary Jones and Her Bible. And I was about nine, and I was an avid reader. And I remember reading about Gladys, and she's just always stuck with me. And then, of course, there was a film with Ingrid Bergman,
Oh, yes.
and Yul Brynner. I think it was Yul Brynner. And so when I saw the film as an adult, I mean, it's made in, it's black and white. I think it was black and white. Maybe it's not black and white. But anyway, it was made in the 60s. And I remember thinking, oh, Jinx, that's a really interesting story. So she's always been in the back of my mind as a woman of faith who should be known and broadcast and looked up to.
Now, could you give us a wee brief overview of her life?
Well, basically, she was born in 1902 in North London, a place called Edmonton. As you have rightly said, she was a wee tiny woman, 4 feet 10 inches. She was in a poor working class family, and she left school at 14 and became a maid for a famous man, Francis something or other, I can't remember. Anyway, a famous man in London. And she just loved being a housemaid because she hated school. And so when she left school, she did it full time. And she went to a church meeting one night. And when she left, she'd given her heart to God. And then there came a call to go to China. And she obeyed that call. I'm giving you a very brief overview because we're going to unpack it and talk about it more. So she obeyed that call to go to China. Long story cut short, she died a couple of months short of her 68th birthday. And she's buried in Taiwan. Where she, well, we can talk about that as well. So that's basically Gladys.
She really is fascinating, and I was really quite struck by her call to go to China, and that's it, because she was like a she'd come from a poor working class background. She'd left school early. I did read that she had done some drama classes because she had thought about becoming an actress.
Oh, I haven't read that.
Yeah, this was when I think must have been when she was like a teenager before she had came to faith, and actually I could see that maybe like because there's something in her that I think she can project, she's got presence.
Charisma.
She really has. But she had said that whenever she had felt that call to China, she had spoken to her dad about it. And her dad was a quiet man. He was, usually quite a silent man. But he said to her, he's like, but what can you do? You're not a nurse. You can't nurse, so you can't go and be a nurse. You're not a teacher, so you can't go and be a teacher. What can you do? All you can do is talk. And she was really stung, by that. And she had she had been crying to herself, and God came to her. God said, well, talk. And then she says, okay, God, I'll talk. And she's like, and I talked and I talked and I talked. And she says, and it'll be for God. If I'm talking, I talk and I talk, it's going to be for you, God. And it was like, that was just, because she heard God's voice so clearly. And so she wasn't going to let what her father said, actually put her off. And you think people in that background as well, actually, a lot of people would have let that put them off.
Yeah. Yes, because the, I mean, working class people, you don't really see working class people going on with to have big fancy vocations in medicine or education. And let's face it, I'm working class. I never thought I would go to university. I never thought I'd be a minister. But when God puts God's hand on you, something changes if you say yes. And it's just about saying yes. And I love that. And it's like, Jesus, do you want to be healed? Yes or no? No brainer. But one of the things that, you're talking about her talking, she applied to the China Inland Mission, as you know, to be a missionary to train, but they kicked her out because she couldn't talk Chinese, to put it bluntly. She didn't have the academic background to do the Chinese lessons the way they taught them, and yet this wee woman got to China and survived and communicated fine and learned to speak the language. So it says to me that their methods were the wrong methods for Gladys.
Yeah. Also, I think there was nobody there as well,
Yes,
Linda.
of course, absolutely. And I think as well as that, there's this sense of her sense of call was so great. She was determined, which is of course what she left the missionary college and went back to working as a housemaid, and she said it would take her 3 years to save the money to get the train to China, but she did it in a year.
Yes. Aye, because again, that would seem to be like a really. That was a real God moment as well in her life, because when she left the college, she was thinking, because she was thinking about how, well, is the no from them the same as the no from God? But good Christian friends encouraged her and told her to keep praying and to really try to discern what God was saying. And so again, this was another great story that I had found, and as this a God moment was she'd started a new job, as a maid in a house, and she had put in front of her all her belongings, that she had, and she's like, well, I've only got, I think she had like 2 pennies or something like that, and a Bible and a book, and she's like, is this going to get me to China? And that same night, our mistress in the house had called her in and gave her the money that she had spent on getting to the house, her fare. And that was, she took that as a sign from God that this, I've to go to China and you, God, are going to provide for me.
And I love too that our mistress and our friends gave her a suitcase and all the help that she, well, not all the help, but the help that she needed for the wee extras, when she worked really hard and got the fare together to go to China, but they provided the other practical things too. And that reminds me that our call is never in isolation. Our call is always part of community. And there's people who'll hear this and think, oh, I can't be a missionary. Oh, I can't do that. But you know what? You're part of the community and the communion of saints, and everybody has a role. And our roles are all, we can't all be leaders. We can't all be evangelists. We can't all be whatever, but we can all be part of the body of Christ, supporting one another in lots of diverse ways.
Yes, and that's it. And for us to be able to see that passion within each other and be able to see the gifting in each other and actually be able to see that call on each other's and encourage it, and be there to grow it and help people to get where they need to go. Because, like, I know myself, Linda, I would never have become a minister if it wasn't for actually the people within my home church encouraging me and my family encouraging me, because the thing was is like as you had said, like I'm from a working class background. The only ministers that I seen when I was growing up were actually quite posh older men, and I'm like, that's not me, that's not me. I'm like, what would you want me for? This wee woman, this rough wee woman, like the, you think, but actually it's them that it's like people like us that then encourage others, our peers, people within our communities to then follow the call as well on their life. And if it wasn't for these people encouraging me, I would never have got to where I'm going. And I try, my best to see the gifting in others, you know.
Yes.
And it shows then that I can then repay that, you know, be like, well, like, what's God doing in your life? I want to you to do that too.
Yeah. And I think Gladys, somebody like Gladys, who couldn't speak the language, who wasn't highly educated, who was alone. I mean, the woman that she went to work with in China, Jenny Lawson, or Jeannie Lawson, wrote a letter to her church and said, I need help. And that wee woman, Gladys, she was in her late 20s. Maybe she was 30 now. She just got on that train and went across the world. And at a time in history when things were very precarious, a woman, single woman, tiny woman, travelling alone, couldn't speak any other language except English, and even that was with a North London accent. And so she travelled across, and then when she got to Russia, there was trouble in Russia, and she was ordered off the train because it was going to be used for the troops, and she refused to get off. So she went to the next stop, and then they took her off at rifle point. And you would think, oh my goodness, she can't speak Russian. What's she going to do? She's stuck in the middle of nowhere. Of course, God sent somebody along to help her. And they got her to China, you know. And then
when she, epic journey, you know, that was like,
and it is epic. I mean, when I was about 19, maybe 20, I planned to go on that journey on the Trans-Siberian Railway with my friend, what's her name? Irene. How could I forget that? With my friend Irene. And the only reason we couldn't go in the end was because she got really ill and we couldn't go. But a journey I've wanted to make for generations, well, for most of my life. But in those days, come on, a wee woman on her own, a single woman on her own, young single woman, going across Trans-Siberia.
I know, it was like, you know, because I think about how, like, whenever I used to travel for work, I'd be forever, like, phoning up my mum, you know, like, especially when there was delays or whatever, I'd be phoning all the time. But that was, like, 5 weeks all across, you know, across Europe, across Russia, you know, all these different people from different languages coming on. And then she gets the boat over to Japan, and then it's another boat from, you know, from Japan and to China. But then that wasn't the end of the journey. She then still had another 10 days, you know, to get to where Jeannie Lawson was based. Because I think, what was that? Yang Cheng, I think.
Yang Cheng, yeah.
And it was like, so she was like travelling. I think there was a train, a bus, one of these mule litters, you know. She'd maybe never seen this before.
Yes, yeah. I mean, just even the climate changes that she would have had to go through, never mind the cultural changes. And then I read somewhere that when she got to the place where Jeannie Lawson was, she was just devastated because it was seemed to her to be like a traveller's inn for the drunks. Yeah. It was where they came and rested their mules and slept for the night.
Yes.
But another article I read said that Jeannie Lawson kept a very clean traveller's inn, and that the mule herd, the men who owned the mules, the travellers who were merchants, got to know about Jeannie's place because the sheets were guaranteed to be clean, and they loved to hear the Bible stories that Jeannie Lawson told them.
Yes, I think one of Gladys's first roles there was because, and again, it was an incentive, I think, for her to learn, Chinese, the language, was she had to go out and get them to come in. And we have no bugs, we have no fleas, good, 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 come, come, come. And then she, and you can just imagine it as well, this wee force of nature. If they didn't come in, she would grab the first, the lead mule and get them to come in, and then the other ones would follow. Because I think people were a wee bit suspicious. The Chinese were a bit suspicious still of outsiders at that time.
Well, they called them foreign devils, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And they actually were quite afraid of... Jeannie Lawson died, as we know, and then Gladys took over. But they were quite afraid of this wee power of nature. And so they had great respect for her. And did you remember reading about how she got to know the local government leader quite well?
Yes,
Isn't that an
yes,
interesting story?
yes. I know, because that's it. Because she became really quite involved as well within the. Because she went round. She was an assistant to the foot inspector because they had changed the laws in China, so there was no longer any foot binding allowed, and I think they had re met a lot of resistance to this, but Gladys won them over.
She did. And I read somewhere that at first she resisted it because she thought they wouldn't respond to her. But then the local governor said, "Dear, but you can speak about Jesus." And that was enough for her. That's all she needed. And I thought it was really interesting that this local governor invested a lot of time in her and thought so highly of her that during a big prison riot, he called on her to quell the riot. Can you
Yes.
just imagine that, getting into one of the prisons here, a wee woman 4 foot 10, calming them all down?
I know,
But
because like, that's what, because I was like, oh, imagine that, like getting into Berlin or somewhere like that,
I know.
and it was like expect, you know, like with criminals and you know, like hard men, and she could stand her own, but she really believed in the power of our Lord Jesus. She really did, and that belief really inspired others to believe. Because there was another story in the prison that she was, cause, and this was it, she was really keen to go and visit, you know, in the prison, and there had been like a Bible study, you know, and so she had a student, there was a student leading the Bible study, and she'd said to the student, look, you get them to sing some choruses and I'll go and see if we can get some more to come in. But when she went to look, there was a man who was chained up. He was a murderer, and he'd already been, and he'd been fighting again, and so he'd been fighting in the prison, causing trouble, and so they had him chained up. And I think he hadn't been, because he did have capital punishment then, but he hadn't been put to death because of his age. He was too young, and so he. What happened was is she had encountered them, and he was like, she's like, oh, will you come in? And he's like, I can't, you know, I'm chained up, you know, I can't come out. But he heard them singing, and then they started singing, I Need Jesus, and he was actually really moved by this, you know, because he could hear them singing, I Need Jesus. And he said to Gladys, he says, you know, can you pray for me? And she went back in to the she went back in where the room was where they were all doing their singing, you know, ready for the Bible study. And she said to them, to she got all the prisoners to pray. So she says, but not just for him to be released from his like inner chains, you know, and he's but for him to be released from his chains in every way, so that God will be glorified, not just in the prison, but everywhere, you know. So then a couple of nights later, this prisoner, and he was like sharing a cell with some others, but he was chained up. He was still chained up. He woke up and he had a vision of Jesus. So Jesus was in the cell with him, and he could see this bright shining light. And then he could smell this really beautiful smell, you know. So there was a beautiful smell. And then he said that Jesus came by him. And as he came by him, his cloak touched him. And so he touched him. And then he shouted to wake up, you know, all the other, you know, the prisoners in the cell. And they woke up and they could see this bright light. And then they're it disappearing through the walls. But they were making like a total clamour. They could all smell this beautiful fragrance. And so a guard came in and was like, what's going on? And then they realised that the prisoner was holding his chains. He was no longer chained up. But the thing was is he wasn't you know, there was no key. The key actually was in the governor's office behind the desk. And so the next day, like, so the next day he was still, so the guard had said, look, just go back in, I'll say that I'll let you out, I unlocked your chains and forgot to put them back on again. But the next day, whenever they woke up and they went in, like, he still was out the chains, he was holding the chains, and the guard's like, oh, but actually, I can't say that because I don't have the key. So, excuse me. So then it went up the chain to the governor, and then the governor called in Gladys. So he did. He called Gladys in, and he's like, this is because he had the chains and on his desk, because he's like, he says, and they're not even unlocked. They're not even unlocked. They're off him, and he's not even unlocked. And he's like, and I really want to go to that cell and smell that beautiful fragrance that they're all talking about. And it was just, and so this was a story then that Gladys told, to others. So when she came back to Britain later on, she told this story as well, and it was like people were amazed. Like, so her belief in Jesus was, it inspired so many others. She was just
Yeah, I think that
inspired.
her belief in Jesus wasn't just a spiritual high thing, because the when the, she was called in for the prison riot, she saw the lack of compassion and the abuse of the human rights of those prisoners. So she assured them she'd talk with the prison governor, and she did, and things were changed because she had compassion on these men who, yeah, they should be in prison, but they're human beings made in God's image, and they shouldn't be treated as anything less than that. So I love that her compassion, her spirituality was a practical thing as well as a head thing and a heart thing.
Yeah,
It's
because
really important, isn't it?
it really is. It's like, because it's like that her faith really was, she lived it, she lived it, and it was so active, because again, for an outsider to come in and, tell, speak about prison reform, and a country like China, like the bravery, that she must have had, and that. Like, no, this is the right thing. Having their faith, to inspire her and inspire other people as well. It was just.
Yeah, and who'd have thought that a working class, ill-educated young woman could have done that? And yet, with God, n nothing's impossible. And I really value that she had compassion for orphan children, children who were being sold into slavery, and she turned that Travellers Inn into an orphanage, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And she had 100 children
Yeah.
that she looked
Actually,
after.
some of them she adopted as well, or some.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, single woman with no income, but what's that? That's saying God's will, God's bill,
Yes.
So, but I love that she, when the war came, she thought that they were in a place that wouldn't have been affected, but the Japanese dropped bombs in her town, her city, Yanchen, and so of course she had to get those kids to safety, and she waited a wee bit too long, and ended up the troops came sooner than she expected, so she took them over the mountain, which is what the End of the Sixth Happiness Ingrid Bergman film's all about. And actually the name of the film's incorrect, because it was the eighth virtue, so it was the end of the eighth happiness. And I read somewhere that Gladys really was annoyed about that film, and not least because in the film Ingrid Bergman falls in love and kisses the local chief or the local governor, and Gladys was quite adamant that she had never kissed anybody, which I just thought was lovely.
Yes, actually, do you know that's again that really struck me, and it was like, that it was. Aye, that was like she didn't want her reputation tainted in
Yes, she
any
was
way.
virtuous in every way. Yeah, but can you imagine what it must have been like? We 100 weans gurning and yapping and moaning, and but mostly afraid. There was they ran out of food, and at one point the Chinese army sheltered them in the mountains, and fed them, gave them water. And then when they got to their final destination, of course, she collapsed. She was sick as a dog. But
Yes.
all the kids were safe. All the orphans were safe. I just love that.
I know. It was just, I know she just gave everything, actually, for them and her, and our faith that she was going to get there, she was going to get them to safety.
Yeah, but most
Because
people wouldn't have even bothered. Most people would have hidden and hoped that the Japanese would be merciful. But the story goes that they were killing everybody, and there's so 100 children and a white woman. That would be something else, wouldn't it?
Oh, I know. I know. Just the sound. And because of that, she really was so well regarded by them, at that time. And so, do you know, it makes me a wee bit sad that later on, because she was a Chinese, because she did become a Chinese
She
national.
did, yes, she did. She became a Chinese citizen, yeah.
And then she did return. She returned to Britain. Was it in the late? She did return to the in the late 40s. Was it?
Was it 1948?
I
Something like
think
that,
something like
yeah.
that. She had returned. Was it because? Did she return? Was it because her mother was ill or something?
I don't remember why, because was she kicked out of China? Maybe it was no. The communists were coming and they were killing all the missionaries. That's what it was. We're killing all the missionaries, so she had to leave and come back to London, and she hated it.
Aye, that's it. And then she couldn't get back in again later on. Yeah, she couldn't. And it's such a shame because she had, given so much, for China and for the, for the Chinese people. And she had, because and that call on her life, it was such a shame that the communists wouldn't let her back in again. And you know how they feel about, or how they felt about, religion. But she did go back. She went to Hong Kong, didn't she, for a while?
Yeah, she did. Yes, yeah, and then Taiwan, where she settled. I was looking up the internet to see photographs of the orphanage set up over in Taiwan. It's open still to this day, the Bethany Orphanage. Yeah, for children. They've got a Canadian woman who's the director of it, and they take in. There's just the images are just full of joy. They really are, and they've got a wee plaque where she's buried, you know. And a wee plaque where she was born in Edmonton, you know. So she'll never be forgotten.
No, I know, and that's the thing, because I'm now going to I thought, oh, I'll need to read her book, I'll need to read the book about her, and just because I just find her just so inspiring. I really do, and actually there's a lot within her, that I think there's, so the qualities that actually that we need now. And and it's not so much, we don't need to be going to other countries, to do mission. Actually, I think it's, I think we actually need to, like, with, in our own Western world, actually, I think that we need to be, really replanting, replanting. Reviving and bringing that message, back to, back to the Western culture, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you start in your own backyard, don't you? Jerusalem, Judea, and then the ends of the earth.
Yes,
That
I.
what Jesus said.
Yeah.
And I think it's, but for her to come from where she came from, there must have been an absolute, complete, total, and utter trust in God that she was being called to go to China, to battle through what she battled through, and to then do this transformational work. So she had 100 orphan children, all the other people she influenced, all the conversations in the prison, all the conversations around the feet that were bound up, all the conversations with those orphans and teaching them about the good news and how that must have permeated all through the country. Because although Christianity was banned in China, the wherever there's a moratorium, the church thrives. The underground church thrives, you know, and that's something interesting about that, isn't it? It's like the early church before it became the church of the world, you know, before it became official, before it became approved by Constantine the Emperor in the 4th century. It was an underground thing, wasn't it?
Yes,
And maybe things would be very different if it hadn't become the church, the official religion, you know?
Yes, And that's it. And also, you wonder as well, like, because, there's still so many, like, underground churches in China, today.
Oh yeah, they're thriving, yeah.
That, and you think, I wonder how many of those people, like, generation, like, maybe from that,
Yeah.
going.
Their great grandparents, yep. Yeah, exactly. It'd be interesting to see if we could tie back, like, almost like the family tree of Gladys Aylward's influence over people who follow Jesus to this day. Did it start with some little seed she sowed? And that's the thing for us too. We don't know what we're doing. We could sow a seed, and who knows what will grow out of that wee seed. So just keep plodding on, keep pressing on, keep being faithful. And I think one of the things about this that really thrills me and delights me is that this working class young woman went halfway around the world, and never in your wildest dreams would you think God could do this with me. God could do something huge like that. I mean, God can do anything. But so I would say just dream. Just dream. Allow God to give you dreams and make the dreams happen. Just do it. I think we get caught up in the church with, oh, I must follow this and I must do that and watch God's plan. And we are crippled with fear.
Yes.
Just get out and live. Just live the best life you can live. That's what honors God.
Can't do it because I've not done a course. I need to do that course to be able to do it. Or I don't know the right people, or all these things. And it isn't, it's just actually, yeah, let's take the example of Gladys and be like, do you know what? God's calling me to do this, and I'm going to listen. And actually, I'm going to share that call with others so as that they can help me and encourage me, to get there. And to believe that it's not something, it's not like a stupid thing. It's not like a pipe dream. Actually, through God, if God wants you to do it, He will make it happen. But we have to take those steps,
Yeah, you've got to be brave. You've got to be
Yeah.
brave, and you've got to be willing to let your dreams come true.
Yeah,
You
you
know,
know.
anybody can just plod on and go to church every week. Doesn't mean you're alive in Christ. Anybody can quote scripture and tell you this theologian's theory and that theologian. It doesn't matter. Doesn't mean you love Jesus. Doesn't mean you're intimate with the living God. Doesn't mean you're following him, you
No,
know?
no. And that's it. It's like everywhere, I think, within Western societies. There's there's this push towards secularism. There's this like I seen yesterday that one of the supermarkets has taken the cross off the hot cross bun to and put a tick on it, and you're like, well,
Hot tick bun.
it's like, well, do you know what? Actually, don't appropriate our festivals, don't.
Well, we've appropriated pagan festivals. If it's good for us, why is it not good for them? Here's the thing, Laura. Listen, we think we have to defend God. We don't. God doesn't need to be defended, and God doesn't need us to stand up in his corner and say, oh, don't do that, don't do that. The church will always be around. No matter how many doors are closed and how many buildings are shut down, the church will always be around because the church is the body of Christ. And yes, we stand up and be counted in terms of what's really important, but is it really a hot cross bun with a tick on it really that worth your time? Come on.
I think
Would
it's
you?
just a symbol, Linda, of actually this increasing
So
secularization,
what?
and actually,
So
like,
what? We're in a secular world. We make Christian ghettos. We make little Christian ghettos. And if our talk was less and our walk was more,
yes, but
that would
that's
be
what I was
far
saying.
better.
To like, so if actually, so we can, get out there where we are in our communities, where we are, and actually be like, you know, be active like Gladys was, you know, in her faith, trusting God, you know, and the thing is I think people out there actually are willing to listen, you know, because they're hungry for something, they want something more. And actually, if we are authentic, you know, see the way Gladys was completely authentic and trusting. Actually, I think that, you know, people are going to be willing to listen, and actually we can influence people.
Well, you tell me this. Would you rather keep a church open that requires hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of maintenance to keep a beautiful legacy of a beautiful building? Or would you rather spend the hundreds of thousands of pounds helping people who are hungry, who are weak?
You know, I don't even have a building, so
No,
I
exactly. But
would rather.
more people in the church in Scotland, I think, are more concerned about their buildings than they are about feeding hungry people and helping wee children who are abused and women who are battered and men and women who are addicted to drugs because they're not hearing the good news of the gospel that'll free them. And we've spent, we're moaning and groaning, oh, we're closing my church. You know what? Maybe the church needs to be closed. And maybe you need to start all over again. Maybe you need to go and rent the room in the pub or rent the village hall. Stop investing money in bricks and mortar. What did Jesus say? Tear the building down, and in 3 days, it'll be raised up because the building was not the bricks and mortar. The building was Christ Jesus, you know. But and Gladys proved that. Gladys didn't have a church. Gladys didn't have a building that needed to be cleaned and candlesticks that needed to be polished and electricity bills that needed to be paid. She didn't have any of that. And it didn't matter. Look what she did.
I know. It's amazing. Really, really amazing. And so I hope, friends, that you have been as inspired as we are, that you go and find out more about Gladys, and you know, actually use her example to then, you know, go out to your China, you know, wherever
Yeah,
that is.
hear.
You know, so go out to your China and sh actively, you know, share your love of God through, you know, whatever way God is calling you to do that. But it's about getting out there, friends. It's about trusting. It's about trusting that he's going to provide for you. It's about trusting that he's going to like pave the way. He's going to, you know, clear away all the obstacles. And he is going to make it happen, so as the you friends can go out to your China, wherever that might be. And it might not be like a 5 week journey. It might just be up the road.
5 minutes, yeah.
As it might just be, you know, it might just be like round the corner, wherever that is, friends. You know, you can, you know, actively share your love of the Lord with others and make your mark. Just like Clovis did, you know, inspiring, inspiring, because that's it, it's just inspiring others in the faith as well.
Yep, you're here.
Yes. So any last words, Linda, before we finish?
I think you've covered everything there, wee Ian. Just God bless those that listen. Write in, let us know if there's somebody you're interested in talking about. Come and join us on a podcast. I'd love to hear from you, and it'll be good to have a blether next month when I'll be back in the UK.
Woohoo! Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. We can record this at any time then,
Yes,
Linda.
not late at night for me or early in the morning for you, or vice
Yeah.
versa. Yeah.
Aye. Oh, well, that'll be good. So yes, please do send us your recommendations of either women from the Bible or women of the faith who you would like us to explore. Because, well, I have to say it really is a joy for me to, you know, look in more depth at people that you know, I've maybe never come across. And you know, and now I just want to know more about wee Gladys. Yes, so friends, thank you for joining with us, and we will see you all again next month. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. See ya.